Blog Talk Radio. Okay, everybody, welcome Shabbat Shalom. That music kind of got a little fuzzy there. I thought we'd stop it there. But Shabbat Shalom to everybody listening all over the net. This is Brother Seth, and I have Arlene with me, my wife Arlene. Say hello, Arlene.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
And we're going to go ahead and begin this study. Well, before I begin the study, let me first say this is our premiere. This is going to be our first blog talk on this particular website anyway. The first time I'm speaking on this particular juncture. So I just want to just say that we are planning on doing a lot on this blog talk radio.com. So shout out to the owners and the people that produce this, make this show available. Shout out to them. Thank God for them. A lot of people have voice over this particular website. So, again, God bless them. Again, my name is Seth. My wife is Arlene. And I'm going to have different guests on from time to time. But right now, I figure what better way to start this blog than to start it with my own wife, Arlene. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. I just want y'all to kind of take your time, relax, get somewhere where you can listen, get a pencil, paper out, and just we're going to go on a journey today. We're going to talk about the law versus grace, the law versus grace. Actually, let's be politically correct here. The actual title to this particular blog is going to be Righteousness is a Gift, Not of Works. And then in parentheses we'll say, shall we sin then? That's what Paul always say. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin because righteousness is a gift? So we'll get into to that in a little bit. But before I begin, let me tell you a little bit about me and why I decided to have this blog, why we even would be up 11 o'clock on this Sabbath, this wonderful Sabbath, Sunday Sabbath, here in Texas. Never mind the city, having a, hopefully, about to have a very restful time. So, as you know, the one of the 10 commandments says that we should remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I know a lot of people don't know quite what to do with that. I know Christ come to do away, not to do away, but to fulfill the law. But I do feel like the Sabbath is in order, especially if you call yourself Israel. That's a whole nother Bible study there. But we do believe that that African Americans and many other scattered people all over the world are truly the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Most High commanded them for sure to keep the Sabbath wherever they would be dwelling, wherever he would scatter them, and they were supposed to keep it forever. So we try to do that on the Sabbath or on the Shabbat, as some people say. We say Shabbat Shalom. As you notice, my wife and I address you with Shabbat Shalom. That just means this is the Shabbat Saturday, the Sabbath, and Shalom is peace. Okay? So that's why we say Shabbat Shalom. We'll try to give you a definition because some names will say different things, maybe a little new to some of you, and we have to keep in mind that everybody is not in this light, so we'll try to give you a definition here and there. Everybody else, just bear with us. Okay, there's so much to talk about. I just don't know where to start, so I decided to pick this particular subject because this subject has been on the agenda in my life for a very long time, the law versus grace. Okay, righteousness is a gift, as we said. The title of the message again is Righteousness is a Gift, Not of Works. Shall we sin then? I mean, that's what Paul always said. He always said, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin? So before I begin anything, I want Arlene to have a little shout-out before I get to talking, and we don't want to look over her. So, Arlene, just say hello to the people before we get into this blog.
Yes, I'd just like to say hello to everyone and thank you all for tuning in at this present time or in the future. And just know that according to the scriptures, it says my people perish for lack of knowledge. So for those of you that are tuning in, you will not be perishing, but you will be growing in the knowledge of the Most High, growing in His grace and the ability to live for Him and to please Him. And I'm just excited to be a part of this journey and glad that you decided to join. Thank you.
Okay. Well put, well put. She always does well speaking. Sound a lot more efficient than I do. That's her gift, I guess. But anyway, a little bit about me, okay? I'm a minister of the gospel. I distance myself from ministers because it's like I consider myself to be as oil and water compared to what a lot of these ministers are doing and saying these days. I'm not perfect in any way. I don't consider myself even to be the greatest example of this very gospel that I preach and uphold and defend, but I am a believer. I do believe in one creator, okay? We call the Father, it's called by several names, and I'll go ahead and go over these names now because you're going to hear different things. I don't want you guys to think we're talking about a different religion, but I do believe in the Father who sent his Son, many say Jesus, Jesus Christ. I do believe that the Father did send his Son to die for the sins of the world, to take sin completely out of the picture where mankind can have a bridge to the Father. The Father, who we call Yahweh, and when they translated the scriptures, they instituted the word God and Lord, but it actually was Yud-Heh-Wad-Heh, and a lot of people interpret that to mean all kind of different things. Some say Yahweh, some say Yahweh. I mean, just different names. I don't want to even, because I'm not versed really to tell you all of the 100 different names people call Mosiah. I'm just going to let you know what I call him. And I call him Father. I call him Yahweh. I call him the Most High. These are the things I call him, okay? Now, as it relates to Christ or Jesus or Emmanuel, or the Son of God, I will most of the time say the Messiah because I don't believe that the letter J was around in ancient times, and that don't rock my salvation, and it shouldn't rock yours. So his name wasn't Jesus, but we definitely know that there was a person that lived, died, rose, left, had a mother named Mary, did miracles, came to die for our sins, and that's the most important thing. I know a lot of times people get hung up on the names, but we need to move on and talk about who these people are, because we know it's what Christ did. And all a name means, according to the Strong's Concordance, is character and authority. Character and authority. Okay, so people get hung up on the name, but the question is, do you have the character and do you operate in the authority? If you do, you are operating in the name. It seems like people change every 5 years as far as what they're going to call Christ and the Father. So I keep it just politically correct by saying the Most High, and that refers to the Father. I'm not talking about Christ when I say the Most High. I'm talking about the Father. Christ often talked about how the Father had, he did everything to please his Father. He said, if I do anything on my own, it's not true. So we do not worship per se Christ. We worship the Father, and we need Christ's example because nobody pleased the Father like Christ did. So when we say the Most High, praises to the Most High, we're talking about praises to the Father. We acknowledge Christ, we respect Christ, we sing to Christ, we thank him for his dedication, his unselfish lifestyle. He is all power in heaven and earth has been given unto him. The Father says, sit here on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So we're talking about a very powerful being when we talk about Emmanuel or the Messiah or Yeshua. Some people say Yahweh, and there's all other kinds of names. We're talking about a very powerful being. But the bottom line is, do you know his authority and do you have his character? That's what I strive to be. And when you do that, you are going and living in his name. That's what it means to do something in his name, his character and his authority, not what words you call when you think you're trying to call on him. Okay? Some of y'all don't speak good English anyway. You're going to never get it right. But anyway, moving right along, before I go too far, I want to shout out to a sister, a blogger, a blog member, and just give me a minute before I even do that, because I want to say something else about them. But before I do that, I want you guys to hear another song that's very important to me. And when we come back, I'm going to shout out to another sister blogger. a group that I think is very important to my development spiritually, and we've been having a Bible study for almost a year. Well, not on Blog Talk, but in a different vein. So let's go ahead and just I want you to hear this song. Sit back, enjoy this song, let it bless you, and then we're going to come back and finish up this and get into this message, all right?
Totally backwards.
One, two, three, come on! Hey, y'all, this is just a simple invitation. We want you to come on up to New Jerusalem. Come on, choir. how we do it in New Jerusalem. All right, you ready? Quiet, bring it down. No more crying.
No more crying.
No more dying.
No more dying.
No more sorrow.
No more sorrow.
Where?
In New Jerusalem.
Hey, no more crying.
No more crying.
No more dying.
No more dying.
No more sorrow.
No more sorrow.
I said where?
In
hey,
New
take
Jerusalem.
It up. There's no more sickness.
No more sickness.
No more pain.
No more pain.
Like that song. I love that song. These two songs that I played so far is actually by a choir out of Dimona, the Fire Choir of Dimona. You got to hear them. Go online, type in Fire Choir Dimona Israel. Very good group, very strong. Love those people. Don't always agree with everything they say, but they are very powerful people, very smart vegans. Check them out, kingdomofyah.com. All right, moving right along. Okay, I want to just, again, I had mentioned I was going to do a shout-out to friends of ours. There's another blog account that goes by the name of Ben Yisrael Synagogue. Stop by there. Listen to some of their old episodes. Brother Terry Sharp, probably one of the sharpest brothers I've met in dealing with the Old Testament. Very sharp brother in dealing with the Old Testament. A lot of things you can't really understand the new and really appreciate the new and really thrive in the new unless you understand what's happened. Okay, this is our foundation. So this brother does a very good job. Again, Ben Yisrael Synagogue is actually one of my links on my blog page. Okay, now the name of the blog page, those of you that just called and didn't get a chance to really go to the page online, my blog is going to be, of course, blogtalkradio.com, and then it's /5smoothstones. That's how you get to me, 5smoothstones after you type in blogtalkradio.com, okay? Now, most of the time people want to know, I run into this all the time, people want to know who are you, why are you, so I want to take this time to talk a little bit about why we set this blog up, why this subject, and the subjects I'm going to be dealing with, okay? There's a lot of talk about grace versus the law. You know, the law is, of course, what the Most High gave to the children of Israel. But since Christ has come, a lot of confusion has come into the church. Okay, a lot of people feel like that we don't have to obey the law anymore, and now we're under grace, and we can just kind of do as we want. I really don't think people really believe that, but I hear that's the accusation anyway for most people that's on the other side. They feel like, well, you grace people. Y'all feel like you can just do what you want, and the Lord will forgive you. And then the flip side of it is the law people feel like you got to obey the law to be justified. You got to obey the law to be righteous. And the scripture clearly points, we'll get into this in a second, that there's nothing man can do in and of themselves to be justified, to live a good life, yes, to activate certain promises, like one scripture say, keep your mind on me, if you keep your mind on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. So the Most High is saying in the scriptures, if you will just keep your mind on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. So there's a lot of scriptures, promises, I want to say, that's out there. So there's a lot of different camps. I want to talk about this before we go get into the scriptures. Believe me, y'all thumbs and fingers going to get tired here in a second. But I just want to talk about what's the fuss all about. There's one camp saying, you know, these grace people, they just feel like you can live any old kind of way. I live around them. They just horrible people. They have no conscience. They dress in no kind of way. They believe in no kind of thing. And then the other camp is saying, well, y'all trying to be justified by the law when the Most High said, clear out of the scripture that you cannot be justified by the law. So this is, the argument is all over the net, and there's been this big explosion of a lot of so-called African-Americans coming into the understanding that we're Israel. That's a whole other Bible study. Check my blog out. Again, blogradio.com/5smoothstones, and we'll talk about that in the future, and lots to talk about that. But this is a very heated conversation. So I just want to, at this time, ask everyone to turn in your books. Turn in your Bible. We're going to get Arlene, if she don't mind, to do the reading for today's study. She's going to do the reading, and I'll do the commentary, okay? So, Arlene, if you don't mind, turn in your books to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, notorious book for dealing with this particular subject. Galatians, the book of Galatians is in the third chapter. Very infamous for dealing with this subject, okay? All right. Start at verse 1. We're going to do the whole chapter. You mind doing the whole chapter?
Not at all.
Okay.
Galatians chapter 3 reads, O foolish Galatians, who hath betwitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the learning of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, ye are now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed the Most High, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham.
Okay, let's just stop there for a second.
Okay, let's look at what Arlene just shared with us, okay? All right, O foolish Galatians, it says, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before your eyes, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, have been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only have I learned. I know I'm reading it again, but it bears, it's the reason why. I need to hear it again. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law. Or by the hearing of faith. Again, there are camps out there that are just, this is where our people are at. Our people, a lot of our people. When I say our people, I'm talking about humanity right now. A lot of believers and non-believers are stuck here believing that by the works of the law, they're going to be justified. So let's read a little bit further on this, make this even clear. It says, all by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? This is since Christ come. We are now in the Spirit. We are now in the Spirit. Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? When it talks about the flesh, it's talking about the law of works. So when you hear people talking about laws and commandments, justifying them, being righteous, feeling like they get points with God, that's kind of what they feel. They feel like when they do more laws, they do more commandments, which is flesh. I don't care how righteous it is, when you're doing those nice deeds, you're concocting, you're mustering up your own righteousness. I don't care how nice it is. Let's say you feed a lot of hungry people like Oprah. Let's say you help old ladies. You work with you constantly, all day long, you just do good deeds. You give millions and millions away. The scripture talks about, a little later on, and we'll hopefully read that as well, if you offend in any part of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. I'm going to say that again. If you offend in any part of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. Under the old dispensation, under the Old Testament, it was a very harsh thing. Let me back up a little bit. I know we're going to finish up Galatians, but I'm kind of jumping in here. Y'all have to bear with me. This is my first program, and there's so much I want to say. You know, it's just bubbling up. So y'all got to bear with me because, trust me, I have a lot to say. So I'm going to jump around a little bit. But in the Old Testament, Israel, as you know, you should know, had to offer up sacrifice, lambs, bulls, goats, whatever, for their sins. Once they did that, the Most High took out on those innocent animals what could have been taken out on those people. In other words, the people deserved death. He didn't kill them. He killed a lamb instead. All right? So when the lamb was killed, they was as righteous as the Most High was at that very second because there was no sin in them. Okay? The problem with that was, wasn't very long after that, you know, mankind, they sinned probably before they got away from the sacrifice good. Okay? So what people are doing is they are measuring sin. They're looking at what people are doing. They're saying, I just cannot see you entering into the kingdom of God, or I don't see you being a true Christian or a true believer when you do this or when you're thinking that or with what you did in the past. The truth of the matter is, it don't matter if you just told a little white lie on your taxes. To the Most High, to Yahweh, you are as a murderer. And this is what all, you know, a lot of people don't understand when they start talking about, you know, of course, don't get me wrong, we should have works. We should have good works. We should be holy. We should be righteous. Let me back up. We should live a consecrated life. That's the word I'm looking for, which means your spirit is so charged up and encouraged, and you live a spirit-filled life. You give no time away or no room for the flesh. Yeah, we should do that. We should do that, okay? But I'm saying whether you do that or not, your flesh is not saved. And while I'm, when I said that, I thought of another thing. When you do check out the blog, make sure you look at part two to this message. I actually recorded part two first. I know it's kind of weird, but we actually recorded part two. And so it's a lot of talk about Romans. Is very good. I do an excellent job with the Holy Spirit getting that out. That was a very good message. So that's part two to this whole law versus grace, this sin question, okay? All right? But in that message, I talks about how that when you sin in one area, you are as guilty as a murderer, a liar, a pedophile. You really are. And we need to look at sin like that. If you look at sin like that, you will cease to try to be justified by your efforts. Period. It'll be there won't be any conversation on it. But it's just that we look at sin and we think about what the person did. If it's a sexual sin, we imagine, how can this person have done that? They ain't righteous. You will see as we read a little later on, righteousness is a gift. It has to be given to you. No man could please the Most High, save Yeshua or Jesus Christ, as some people know it. No man could please the Father except, no man could keep the law like Christ did. Now, Abraham had his faith. He had genuine faith, and the Bible said that the Most High would not count unto him sin. Blessed is the man who the Lord would not impute sin. So this is what Abraham benefited from. So, yes, he was justified by faith. But I'm saying as far as keeping the law, only the Messiah. Okay, so let's go ahead and finish reading. Now, you got down to verse 7. I think you should go ahead and just continue with 7. And why don't you read 7 and just keep going.
Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that the Most High would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed.
Now, hold on a second. Now, that verse 8, a lot of people would say, well, you see, he said that he justified the heathen through faith. He didn't justify Israel through faith. That's just the heathen. The Israel has got to do works to go along with their faith. But the heathen is justified through faith. For one, it don't make sense. Number two is, just because it words it like this, that's not counting out Israel. You understand what I'm trying to say, Arlene? Am I making this plain? Just because it says, let's read it again. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, because Israel was already counted in the salvation to be justified through faith. The heathen or the Gentiles is what was added later. So the way the scripture read, a lot of people use the scriptures, especially Hebrew Israelites, because I'm talking to everybody. A lot of people use this scripture to say that only the heathen is justified through faith. Israel has got to have faith and works. Just wanted to throw it out, but that scripture isn't saying that. Go ahead.
So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law.
Now, I just mentioned that earlier. I told you I was going to read it. Here it is. Again, if you don't continue and do every single thing in the law, you are guilty of the whole law. So, say it like this, those of you that try to be justified by your own works, by your gifts, by your charity, by what nonprofit volunteering and all this, those are great things and you should do it. Because the Most High promised a blessing to those that activate the different promises. The Bible is full of you do this, I'll do that. You do this, I'll do that. If you pray in faith believing, you shall receive. If you agree, you know, it shall be done. Where you gather, I'm in the midst. You do this, I do that. You do this, I do that. So you want to be obedient. You want to be somewhere activating your part of the scripture, holding, you know, your end of the bargain, so to speak, so that the Most High will be mightily in your life. So I'm not in any way advocating being a knucklehead and just living your life the way you want to. I'm just trying to shed some light, because it's actually a dangerous doctrine. It's actually a dangerous doctrine to tell somebody they can work and do good deeds and keep Old Testament laws for their justification. Because what happens is, when they fail, they start taking back the fact that they're righteous. The Most High said, you're righteous. I'm giving it to you. It's yours. You can enter into the Holy of Holies. I used to strike people dead, but you can enter. But these people, because they didn't go volunteer somewhere, or they didn't, you know, they cursed somebody out, or they let the flesh get the best of them, they feel like they're no longer righteous. We have got to understand that we are both spirit and body. Paul used the word members. Sin dwells in our members, not in our spirit. Our spirit is born again. And that is born again is straight from the Father. Do you think anything that's straight from the Father is going to be contaminated with sin? You're absolutely right. That part of us that's born again knoweth no sin. And as 1 John 3 reads, we'll read that a little bit, it can't sin because it's born of God. That's what happened to us when we became born again. The Bible says he's put his spirit inside of us and it cries, Abba, Father. All the time, 24/7. So if in the middle of your fall and missing it, because you're trying to please the Most High, in your middle of falling and missing it, a part of you is crying, Abba, Father, oh my God, what sense does it make that the Father take you and drop all of you into the lake of fire when a part of him is crying out, that part that's from him? It just don't make sense. Okay? All right, y'all, then go right ahead.
But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of the Most High, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them.
Now, hold on there for a second.
Now,
I like that scripture. It says, this is what got me attracted to Demona.
I'm going to just put a short little plug. While I, again, don't agree with everything anybody teaches, I mean, that's just life. I have much respect for Demona Israel and the fact that they do keep certain laws, and those laws have preserved those people. A lot of older people, 75 years old, you know, running around acting like young people. I mean, their diet is just unreal, very healthy. They have so much fruit, so much more than probably any group of people I've seen anywhere in the world. Prior to me being exposed to them, I had high respect for the Chinese because of the, you know, the different cultures they would have and how they lived to be very old. But when I went to Demona and I saw how those people were using certain laws that preserved them, I just was blown away. But you just read, or we just read, where it says in the scripture that if you're able to keep the law, you can live by it. You wouldn't even need a Messiah. And when this was explained to me by one of the brothers there, that we keep the law and we believe that, he said that if you could keep this law, that you wouldn't need a Messiah. He didn't say he didn't need a Messiah. He just said that the law could save you. Even though I knew nobody could keep the law to the Most High's perfection, that started me to looking at the law a little different. That's pretty spectacular that a group of laws would salvage you so that you wouldn't even need the Messiah. That's what we just read. Read it again, Arlene.
But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of the Most High, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them all shall live in them.
Right. You can live by the laws, but you can't be justified by them. Okay? So, and by the way, let me explain something again. I'm, you know, jumping around. I'm going to fall down here in a minute. But think about a person just living their life and they're very destructive. They're destructive in every way. Prior to man getting the law, man was doing all kinds of things, destroying themselves. They didn't know what to do with the woman. They didn't know what to do with the man. They didn't know what to do with beasts. They didn't know what to do with the environment. They was just destructive. So the Most High said, I got to give them a law, let them know that they can't do this. You can't. Don't treat that ground like that. Don't treat that soil like that. Don't treat your neighbor like that. Don't do your money like that. Don't do your wife like that. Don't do your husband like that. Oh, don't do that. Don't do this. In order for him to show them how to live, he had to say to them, this is how you do this. Oh, you have to give them laws. So that was a good thing. The law was a good thing. It was to slow them down from destroying themselves in various aspects of life. But it also brought for them guilt. First, it brought the fact that there was a law. Then it brought the fact that, oops, I have sinned. According to this law, I've been doing this, so I've been sinning. And then came guilt. And when guilt came, nobody wanted to be talking to a holy Elohim or a holy God, if I can use that, which means Elohim. Nobody wanted to be talking to a holy Elohim with sin on them like that. So the law that was good actually drove men away from the Most High. This is why we needed them Savior. Go right here, Arlene.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that he made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of the Most High in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, It is no more of promise, but the Most High gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, serveth the law. It was added because of transgression.
Hold on. That's what I was just saying earlier. Go ahead.
Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator.
Okay, hold on a second. Wherefore serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. Till the seed should come. Now, when you say till, if I told Arlene, wait here till my son Josiah comes. That means after Josiah comes, she don't have to wait no more. Something happened. The different a covenant. There's something has transpired if all of a sudden, you understand what I'm trying to say? So I just want to bring that point out, but something even, I think a larger point is, let's look back at this. You kind of was reading, I didn't want to stop you, was doing so good there, Arlene, but look at this here, verse number 12. And for those of you riding along, listen to us on your cell phone, I'll read it for you. It say, and the law is not of faith. The man that build them shall live in them. I didn't catch this earlier when you read this, but I did want to say this, that the law is not of faith. Now, when Christ comes, we know that the Bible said that Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness, okay? If now we are justified by faith, if now we're justified by faith, and that's the argument we're having here today, that's the discussion we're having today, there are two camps. There's a camp that says we're not justified just by the law and faith. We're justified by faith alone. Once we believe, we're given the gift of righteousness. It's a gift you can't work for. That's it. You're righteous. You're as holy as the Most High himself. And you can't even believe to have this faith we're talking about unless he gives that to you too. So no man can even come to the Father unless he draws him. And when he draws him, he gives him the faith to believe in the Messiah that he came, lived, died, rose, left, and is going to return. And they're given the gift of righteousness by way of being given the Messiah, okay? Then there's the other camp that says, no, no, no. You can have a faith all you want, but you got to have works to be justified. Now, personally, and I'm going to share with you a scripture, that you will have works if you truly have faith, but you're not justified by the works. Y'all, you understand what I'm making this clear, Arlene? You will have good works if you believe in the Messiah, accept him into your life, and if the Father did draw you, especially if you accept that gift of righteousness, you understand you are as righteous as he is, as the Bible say, with the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You are as righteous as the Most High. It's a gift. Okay? Some people have a hard time understanding that because they know the things that they do, their shortcomings, and they constantly keep them before them, and they just say, I can't see it. There's no way. Here's a holy Elohim, a holy God that never does anything wrong, that creates the world, and here I am, you know, lying and cheating and lusting, and how in the world are you going to tell me I'm righteous? Well, let's just look at Israel. There they were, liars, cheaters, and everything, adulterers. They killed that lamb. And their sins were gone. It's the same exact thing, except that we don't need more than one lamb to keep getting killed. The Messiah died once and for all. Just imagine a lamb constantly dying, the millions of lambs killed every 5 minutes. Israel would never have sin on them, right? That's what we get through the Messiah. So I'm just thankful. I just want to take a little shout out. I'm just so thankful that the Most High thought of us and saw our lack as human beings and saw that there was just no way. I mean, if Moses couldn't please him 100% and Elijah and Isaiah and all these great Ezekiel, what in the world
are we trying to offer up our little rags, as the Bible calls it, your righteousness is as filthy rags? Why do we still try that? I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it does make sense to just say, hey, so-and-so did this, that, and the other. We don't deserve righteousness. I mean, that's, I think, and I would agree with that. But the most high, the whole thing is, people, I want everybody to really understand what I'm saying here. The intent of this study is to showcase the Most High's love for us. He wanted a family. We know about Christ. We know through the Old Testament, they were familiar with the God of the Old Testament, which was Christ in his form of glory. It's a whole other Bible study. Nobody, Christ said, nobody has seen the Most High. Nobody has talked to him at any time. That's a whole other Bible study. But the scripture says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they that speak of me. This is Yeshua in the New Testament talking. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Now, back then it was only the Old Testament. He said, but they speak of me. He's saying the Old Testament speaks of him. Then he goes on to say, no man has seen the Father or spoke with him at any time. See, the Father, Yahweh, is a giant mystery to humanity. Nobody have talked to him or seen him at any time. I know what you're talking about. I know what a lot of you are thinking about, the burning bush and somebody, when Moses saw the back. But that was Christ in his form of glory. That's a whole other Bible study. No one has seen or talked to Yahweh. So he sent the Messiah, Christ, to die, a sacrificial lamb, because he wants us to walk into that Holy of Holies and commune and talk to him and have a relationship with the Father. After all, he's coming to this planet. When this planet is restored after the millennium, Christ comes to this earth and rule. Remember, the New Jerusalem comes down. Who's going to be with it? The Father and the Son. So the Father wants us to get to know him before that time. Otherwise, we'd be just terrified. So he made us righteous. He made us righteous. Just said, I'm going to give you the same righteous I am. Well, you say, why do we sin? Why do we do these things? Why do we? Because sin dwells in our flesh. Our flesh never got saved. Our flesh, as Paul put in Romans 7, dwelleth no good thing. So part of us crave this world, as Paul talked about. And I can't go into Romans, everybody, because I did this study. We nailed it. It was wonderful. The Holy Spirit really, y'all just got to go to the blog talk. radio.com/5smoothstones. Look at part two. You will be blessed. Okay? All right, Arlene's going to finish.
That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ, that they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of man. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before the Most High in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but the Most High gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but the Most High is one. Is the law then against the promises of the Most High? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law.
Okay, hold on a second.
Verse 21.
All right, stop right there. I want everybody to focus on something here.
Now, I'll let you do a little reading, but I want to go back to 19. It says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. Okay? Till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, I know I keep saying this, but we got to understand, the only reason we was given the law is because had not there been a law, man wouldn't know what to do with nothing. Each other, nature, again, they just wouldn't know, and we would destroy the planet, destroy each other. So when the Most High introduced the law to us, or Christ in his form of glory introduced the law to us, we knew, okay, that's what that's for. As Miles Monroe say, if you don't know the purpose of a thing, abuse is inevitable. So we had to find out what the purpose of the thing was. We had to hear these laws, and we heard these laws. We now had the law. As Paul say, I was without the law once. Then when the law came, sin came. That's what happened. Once we found out it was wrong, we realized, oops, I sinned. Then guilt came into the picture. And once guilt came into the picture, that sin consciousness came into the picture. And that's what we have in a lot of our churches today. Everybody, just go around. Just think about the last sermon you probably heard, even at your church maybe. I don't know. Most of these churches, most ministers today, preach a sin-conscious gospel. How many times y'all heard these quotes? You know, if you were saved, you just can't do certain things. Honey, if the Holy Spirit is in you, some things you just can't do. Here's another one. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be called, you don't have no business. Well, you don't have no business at no club. But I'm saying they'll say things like, basically they say, if you are a believer or a Christian or a saint or one that nameth the name of the Most High, you just ain't going to do this, that, or the other. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. If you are truly born again, truly saved, truly, transform spiritually, you've received the Spirit of Christ, if you don't keep your flesh under, if you don't stay spiritual, stay in the Word, stay in good fellowship, you know, surround yourself with people that love the Most High, if you don't do these things, your flesh is no different than somebody in the world. That is one thing we have in common with the world. Our flesh is not saved. And if we give it room, it'll do anything we did in the past. So, again, I'm not justifying sin. I'm just saying we have got to understand that we are born again of the Spirit. Our flesh craves this world. Again, our flesh craves this world. Okay, so when you hear people say stuff like that, yeah, it sounds good. I'll be first one to tell you, it sounds very good. But, I mean, you born again, right? You love the Most High, right? You read your Bible, right? Don't you fellowship? Don't you try to surround yourself with people that love the Most High? Okay, now what's your problem? Yeah, but it's people that live better than me. Yeah, don't try that. I got to tell y'all this little short story, okay? I used to work at, I'll just say it, make it more real and touchable. I used to work at American Airlines. And I would work with a young lady who said, Seth, you know, you always talking about the Lord and you always talking about people in this power that a lot of people have. I want to meet one of them. I want to meet somebody that's living this thing. She didn't say it like that. She just said, I want to look somebody that's living righteous, that's never sinned. Never, ever sinned. Because they're so full of the Holy Ghost she's talking about. So I actually went to people and started asking them, Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so, someone wants to meet you. Why do they want to meet me? Well, they said they want to meet somebody never sinned, and somebody living under the power of the Holy Ghost and just walking in the Spirit and talking in tongues or whatever. You know, they just never sinned, and that's you. And I had people to look at me and laugh and say, well, thank you for the compliment, but Brother Seth, it is not who I am. I have issues. I just don't let the flesh dominate my life. But yes, my flesh does crave worldliness. Sometimes and I was shocked. I was blown away. So I left abruptly with somebody else. Oh, I know this person got it together. Makes a long, long, long story short, I asked about, I guess, four or five people that I really held high up there, and I found out nobody, nowhere, is living a sinless, according to the flesh, in the flesh life. Nobody. Nowhere. I mean, after all, Moses them couldn't do it. Elijah them couldn't do it. These people stopped the sun and caused an accident to flow and raised the dead. Who in the world do we think we ought to go and try to change the scriptures? We need a gift of righteousness because we can't get it on our own. So y'all should be looking for a way to please the Most High than trying to make, you know, think you're going to get a few points by yelling at people that sin and say, you ain't this, you ain't that. The Most High already knew that we would struggle in our flesh with sin. Again, please do not think I'm trying to advocate sin. If you sin, if you live a life of sin, that goes for me and anybody, you will see corruption. You probably, it depends on what area you're walking in sin. If you're living a life out of order with regards to drinking, you're probably going to get lung cancer or whatever people get when they drink too much. You know, liver cancer or liver, something wrong with your liver. If you work too much, don't spend time with your family, you'll probably lose your family. If you are jealous, you'll probably wind up dead with that one. If you murder, chances are you're going to die. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. If you're a person that's constantly full of pride, pride goeth before the fall. You will have a major fall in your life. You're going to be set out there for everybody to see. You're going to have to swallow that pride assume. I mean that bad pride, not the good kind of pride. Okay, there is a healthy pride. If you're a person that struggles with sexual sins, you will, the Bible says that's the sin you sin against your own body. So you don't leave this planet without paying for your sin. Yes, you're justified. Yes, you are as righteous as the Most High himself, a part of you is. You're already born again. That's the church that's coming back without spot or wrinkle, because if he's looking for that other church to be without spot or wrinkle, he will never be coming back. Don't that make sense? I know that make a lot of sense. You've been hearing that forever. Coming back to our church without spot or wrinkle. Coming back to our church without spot or wrinkle. And I've been thinking, well, what church is that? It has to be the real us, the inside, the church within us. Again, our flesh craves this world 24/7, 365 days a year. We just have to keep it under its power. Say, go ahead, Arlene.
Is the law then against the promises of the Most High? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Stop.
Please. That right there is major. Now, I got some brothers and sisters who I talk with periodically, and it's not just no one person. I mean, this is family members. This is people I know from the past. I can go back 20 years ago, and I had these same arguments, misunderstandings with believers. There are people really stuck on this law. I'm telling y'all, this is major. This conversation today, if you listen and really look, turn to the scriptures and be prayerful, it could change your life. Okay? Listen to this. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. So, those of you that think, no, well, you can be righteous by both the law and faith, there's your answer right there. We can't keep twisting these scriptures. I'm going to read it again. God forbid, for there had been a law given which could be give, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. So righteousness cannot come by the law. Now I know some of you are listening to me and you're saying, why is he on that? I've been knowing that forever. What? But I've been talking to people lately. I'm part of a Bible study, and this has been one of the main things we've been discussing. And not just this Bible study. I can go back when I was in Cincinnati. This same scripture was in another particular church, another particular setting. I can go back further than that when I was a member of a church in Fort Worth, be it Calvary, be it shout out to Calvary, be it COC, Christian. I have always seen running to people that are trying to use laws and commandments to be justified by. Again, you are to keep those laws. You better. You're commanded to. But your righteousness does not come by them. But good living in the Father blessing you as you obey, as you activate certain laws, principles, promises. Okay, so I just couldn't get over that one, okay? But the next one says, I'll read the next one, Arlene. It says, but the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Yeshua might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up from the faith which should afterwards, let me read that again. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. This is my favorite out of this whole chapter. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. I want to talk to Israel, and I'm not talking about the people over in Israel today. I'm talking about the true Israelites that the Most High scattered through the four corners all over the world when he got mad at Israel. You're in Australia, you're in America, you're in Africa, you're in India, you're in China. You're scattered, especially those of you in the United States that are trying to use the law now as some new form of salvation. You're being foolish. Well, how can you say I'm being foolish? Because that's what Paul said in Galatians 3, oh, foolish. You're being foolish to think that the law can bring you justification when it's just a schoolmaster to bring you unto Christ, that ye may be justified by faith. What do you think about this, Arlene? I mean, do you see how clear that is? How do people get out of this that they justified by the law? When he says clearly here that it's a schoolmaster to bring you unto Christ, that ye might be justified. You want to be justified? Yeah, I want to be justified. You want to be cleansed? I want to be cleansed. You want to be righteous? Oh, I got to be righteous. You have to be before you stand. If you're going to commune with the Most High and have a relationship with them. It says it's by faith. And again, some of you, I know you've been knowing it since you've been probably 13 years old, but there is a growing group of people that are trying to take the nation, and not just the nation of Israel, but take everybody backwards. We could not please the Most High with obeying commandments because we'll do good one day and the next day we'll fail. The Most High said, when you sin in one area of the law, you are guilty of it all. Go ahead, Arlene.
Okay.
Go ahead and start at 24.
Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of the Most High by faith in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Okay, we ain't done. Come on, let's keep going. Keep going.
Now I say that the heir is, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all.
Hold on one second.
I'm sorry, bear with me. This is all so good. I'm seeing so many scriptures even before she read them and then after she read, I get another reminder. But look here. Let's look again at verse number 28 for those of you that's got a cell phone on speaker and you can't see the scripture. It says, I'll back it on up to verse 26. It says, for ye are all children of Yahweh, God, by faith in Christ Jesus or Yeshua, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I think we just kind of just say that and keep on reading like, oh, there's one more. I don't think people understand that they're saying you literally are putting on Christ. You that's what it means by, we say we pray in his name. We think praying in his name means ending the prayer with, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. That's not. Praying in Yeshua's name or the Messiah's name, okay, because, again, it was his name, wasn't Jesus. I know y'all have a baby over there, but it's true. There was no J in Hebrew, all right? Let's just keep it politically correct. But we also talking about the same person. Came, lived, died, rose again, and is coming back. Had a mother named Mary. Mary's baby, all right? Okay? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is either bond nor free. This is verse 28. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. Now, if you are in Christ, Hebrew Israelites, those of you that have come to the realization that African Americans, because they live by Deuteronomy 28 and in Leviticus 24, among other scriptures, more than any other nation, if there is any other nation that live it out just as well, they are nothing more than another tribe. Those of you that have discovered that you are Israel based upon that, and you're trying to revert back to the law, that's what's happening. You know, the Most High is trying to set us free psychologically, and we're waking up to who we are as a people, but then the enemy throw in, and it is the devil, it is demonic. I'm not going to play with this. It is demonic to try to take us back as a people and get us to look for our justification through works and through a law. That's demonic. Mock that person that teaches that. That's demonic. It's taking us backwards. This just ain't no, I mean, think about it. Some people out here are listening to these various speakers and preachers and teachers of the law, and they really hold them in high esteem. Some of these preachers hold big churches, and they're teaching this thing, talking about if you say, you just won't do this and that. And then, well, this is a lie. So when people do this and that and the other, and they have these cravings in their flesh, they start thinking that's the real them. So what do? They say, I'm just going to quit. You telling me that doctrine is out of the devil? That's satanic. We need to quit playing with it, okay? I've been nice, but I'm taking off the gloves now. We are taking our people backwards. I know so many people, friends, family, strangers, I've heard them talk like, well, I'm going to get saved once I get my act together. If you get your act together, you don't need the Most High. Nobody can get their act together like that, really. So I'm just saying, if you're telling people that if you say and sanctify with the Holy Ghost, now I will say if you feel with the Holy Ghost and led by the Holy Ghost, the flesh won't get no room, no play in your life, and that's what we should be striving for. But, I mean, Peter was top. I mean, he got the revelation first. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, he got it too, I should say, not first. And the Messiah looked at him and said, Peter, now, nobody revealed this to you. My Father just connected you, boy. You just got an email from him. That was straight from him. The next minute, Peter said, you're not going to the cross. Let it not be so. And the Messiah, Emmanuel, looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. So why do you have such a problem? Because one minute you're crying out to the Most High, and the next minute you're looking at somebody's butt. I'm just keeping it real. We live in a body that craves sin 24/7. It never stops. We're saved, we're born again by the inward man. Peter's a good example. He was showing up. The Messiah said, you just heard from the Most High, and then the next minute he heard from Satan. I cannot stand this doctrine out here that's got our people working to be justified. They should be working. Don't get me wrong. They should be trying to live right. You want that higher life that comes with being obedient. You want to activate every promise. Like I said, the Bible is full of you do this, I'll do that. You do this, I'll do that. So you want the Most High to be busy in your life doing everything in every aspect. I know I do. Only a fool would be around here talking about let's just sin because we're justified by faith. But I do want to say something about that. Paul says, I think over six times in the scriptures, Arlene, that he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know why he says that? Because people, after he taught grace, was thinking, well, you sound like you're justifying sin. So when people say that to me, I kind of take it as a compliment. Because that's what Paul, you know, put up with. Yeah, it does sound like we're justifying sin. We're not. We're just simply saying that the Most High wanted a family so bad. I'm not talking about Christ. I'm not talking about the Messiah. I'm not talking about Emmanuel. Because I don't live for Emmanuel. I don't live for Jesus Christ. I don't live for Yeshua. I live for his Father. If he said, I want to obey the Father. One lady walked to me and said, good master, said, why are you calling me good? There's only one that's good. That's the Bible, y'all. Now, I'm not saying he's not a good master. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that. I'm quoting verbatim what Christ said. Woman, why do you call me good? There's not but one that is good, and that's the Father. He always sought to do what the Father do. He said, I do what I see the Father do. I do what I see the Father do. I do what I see the Father do. He said one time, if I do anything of myself, that means without the Father, just by myself, it's not true. I'm going to repeat that. If I do anything of myself, it's not true. So all power on earth have been given to the Messiah, Christ. He right now is ruling everything, but at the Father's wisdom. Sit here at my right hand, boy, so to speak, and I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. So the Father is counseling the Son as to how to run this earth. The Bible says when everything is restored, the Son will then become subdued under the Father. That's a whole other Bible study. Have to take the side road, though. Okay? Go ahead, Arlene.
I just wanted to revisit verse 24, if I could, in Galatians 3.
Okay.
It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And justified by faith in what? Justified by faith in whom? Justified by faith in what? Justified by faith in Christ is what it says in verse 26. For ye are all children of the Most High by faith in Christ. Okay, so not faith in the law, but faith in Christ. And that's what Seth was expounding on here earlier. justified by faith in Christ. Okay? So we're going on to chapter 4.
Now, before you move on, let me just do this because I just kind of jumped ahead earlier. Again, I was a little rough.
Again, so many things about when we first begun this study. Again, we are Five Smooth Stones. We're at blogtalkradio.com/Five Smooth Stones. I tell you this because on our blog, just in case you are driving and you forget some things, if you go to that blog, again, blogtalkradio.com/Five Smooth Stones, click on my blog, you will see a lot of information going over some of the same things we're talking about right now. One of which, I have a book on the blog by a gentleman by the name of Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack is a gentleman that helped save my life. The Most High used him to save my life. This brother, I'm telling you, blessed me by expounding on grace and the law, because I was tired of sinning. I really believed, like that lady at my job at American Airlines, that somebody could live a flawed, perfect life. And she was looking for him. And I felt like I was just a hypocrite. Why do I keep sinning? Because the Bible says, you know, if you love him, you won't sin, all this. And I didn't understand what that meant. So we're going to talk about that. Hopefully we'll get into those other scriptures. But go ahead, Arlene. But don't forget Five Smooth Stones. And all that means, Five Smooth Stones, is the five different topics. We talk about five different topics. I'll talk about that a little later on. Okay, so.
Okay, chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, the Most High sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, the Most High has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. Now, that right there is King. I mentioned it earlier, okay? Again, that the Most High set in us, put in us.
See, that's, let me just read it. And because ye are sons, Yahweh has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And I know a lot of you, I'm going to get personal, a lot of you, if when you're messing up or letting the flesh rule your life or letting the flesh rule a particular second or moment in your day, if you should have a part of you that's saying, oh, my God, help me, Father, help me, Lord, oh, Father, oh, Father. You might even say, think to know to say the word Abba, Father. But your spirit is crying, Abba, Father, oh, Father, help me, Father. So, I just wanted to share that, okay? Go right ahead, Arlene.
Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of the Most High through Christ. How be it then, when ye knew not the Most High, ye did service unto him, which by nature are no God. But now that after ye have known the Most High, or rather have known of the Most High, how turn ye again the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?
Now, hold on a second. Arlene, we do have a caller. I missed him earlier. I was going to get to him, but we got to talking. I didn't. So the 513-386, I think it was. If you can call us back, I'd appreciate it, okay?
Ye observe days.
Hold on. I think he's on the air. Are you there, caller? Hello, are you there? Okay.
Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of the Most High, even as Christ. Where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. O my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you.
Okay. And that's good. All right, Arlene, let's go over to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. I was going to read more of that, but we just want to stay on the specific subject. All so good. It's all so good. But 1 John 3, everybody in your Bibles, please. 1 John 3. Okay, go right ahead.
Verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of the Most High. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of the Most High, and it doth not appear, it does not yet appear, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he has manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I get tickled when I read that. Just read that last scripture again. Now, everybody out there that says, well, I sin from time to time. Now, if you sin from time to time, then this applies to you. Go ahead.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning.
Okay, keep reading.
For this purpose, the Son of the Most High was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of the Most High does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin.
Read that again.
Whosoever is born of the Most High does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of the Most High.
Now, hold on.
Verse 9.
Now, this is where, if you're preaching, yeah, I'm saying, everybody's saying we ain't perfect. This is where you're going to have a problem with the Bible. Again, he that sinneth is of the devil. Now, I know y'all are going to say, I ain't of no devil. Now, wait a minute. But that's what it says. Now, don't you think the Bible contradicts itself, Arlene? Maybe it's just John and Paul wasn't on the same page. What do you think? Is the Bible contradicting itself? Should we tear out this book and keep Paul, tear out John and keep Pauline epistles? trust me, if we look at this and use all these scriptures, it makes all the sense in the world. He that sinneth is of the devil. That means this person's spirit does not know the Most High. They have not been born again. When they sin, it ain't just their flesh. Their spirit is sinning. They don't cry, Abba, Father. Ain't nothing inside them crying, no Abba, nothing. They just sin, call hard sinners. I know I got that right. But now it says, he that is born of the Most High. Because remember, Paul said, he in Romans 7, he talked about how he did things that he wouldn't normally do, that he didn't want to do. He said to the and I'm not going to read Romans because we, again, everybody, look, go to my page, blogtalkradio.com/5smoothstone. Look at part two. I really go into Romans for an hour and a half, and I'm telling you, it flows a lot better than this is flowing, even though this is going good. But one of the things Paul said is that he did things that he didn't want to do, and the things he did want to do, he had a hard time doing them. This is the person that wrote most of the New Testament. But he goes on to say, now, wait a minute, if I do things I don't want to do, sorry, two different people. If I do things, that's one person, that I don't want to do, he says, no more I that do it, because I don't want to do them. But it's sin that dwelleth in my members, in my body. So we just read that if you sin, you have the devil, which everybody I know say they sin. So everybody's of the devil, then Most High ain't coming back to nobody. Then we just forget, close our Bible, and I don't know, go ahead and grab a Bud Light. What do you think, Arlene? But I'm serious. If that's what it says, he that sins of the devil, it goes and say, he that is born of God, and anything that comes from the Most High, and I'm saying God, so I won't scare y'all, but it's really Elohim, okay? Anything come from this Elohim is going to be pure, and that thing cannot sin, and that's the thing that's inside of our spirit. The scripture says this thing is what raised Christ from the dead. So it says the Bible is talking about the flesh. We hopefully will read that a little later on. It says the same spirit that raised up Christ. That's Romans. I can't go back because we already dealt with it. But it says the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. That means empower you to live right, our consecrated life. Again, read that last verse where it talks about that this thing that's born of the Most High inside of you cannot sin.
Whosoever is born of the Most High does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of the Most High.
Now, all you people out of here that are preaching, that if a person, you think you're going around with a ruler, you done took out your little spiritual ruler, you're measuring sins, and you're trying to put people in hell or heaven, you're just doing a whole lot of, I don't know. This probably just wreck your whole philosophy. But not if you're grounded in truth. People, we have been given the gift of righteousness. I'm so thankful that the Most High sought to just give it to us as a gift. And again, you have to believe. And that belief in the Messiah that he came, lived, died, rose, and lived, you have to believe that. And I don't really think a lot of people believe that. I don't think a lot of people in churches even saved to begin with. That's what a lot of these folks' problem is. A lot of these people with the sin issue, and you know, I miss it sometimes, I ain't gonna lie. I mean, you know, I'll give you a little testimony, but I lost my cell phone not too long ago. And I mean, I was calling around people that I thought was calling my phone, and I just was acting like somebody didn't know nothing about the Lord. Okay? I just in the flesh. We have those moments, and it's very easy to look at your entire being as sin. That lie you told, or that lie you've been telling forever. Okay, later on, and I know I'm jumping here, but we don't go back to the scripture. But 1 Corinthians 5, we're going to talk about a little later on, because what actually happened, there was a person that was in gross sin, 1 Corinthians 5. And Paul said this person was actually having sexual relationship with their father's mother, 1 Corinthians 5. Let's see if I can do it by heart. It is reported commonly among you that there's fornication, such fornication not seen among the Gentiles. The one should, how am I doing? The one should have his father's wife. He goes on to say that I'm being absent, have already judged this person. He says, take this person. The church had the authority, and we still got it today. We just don't believe it. To turn a person over to Satan, that their spirit, that their flesh may be destroyed. In other words, Paul said, turn this person over to Satan. The church could do that. We still can do it today. We just don't believe it. Turn this person over to Satan that's been doing all this sinning, that their body might be destroyed. In other words, they're going to die. But that their spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. Because they're going down the road, they're just sinning like they're crazy, not stopping. And if we don't turn them over to Satan, they don't get off this planet, they're going to mess around and reject that gift of righteousness. And those are the people, if you reject the gift of righteousness, oh my goodness, Christ didn't come die again for you. You are damned. Yeah. So it's best you be dead somewhere and your spirit be saved. But then Paul was addressing another church, and he was saying, I think it was the Corinthians, and I know this is a little side road, but he was saying they had adultery and different things in the church, and he was telling them, what are you doing? You're washed. Hopefully I'll find it a little bit. But he says, what are y'all doing? I hear there's adultery among y'all, lying, cheating, jealousy. What are y'all doing? You're washed. You're holy. We would say, no, they ain't, because they wicked. See, holy and righteousness, this is something that was given us. We are a holy nation. Christ is coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle. We are without a spot or wrinkle. Don't try to go look for a church without a spot or wrinkle. There ain't one as far as the building. These folk building all these programs and this fake prosperity message out here and all these wannabe preachers scared to tell the truth, please, they're not ready. He can't be coming back for that. We, the inward man, that's been born again, that Arlene just read, that's the spirit of the Most High. Anyway, let's move on. I can stay on this forever. Okay. So, no, I just quoted that. See, she turned the 1 Corinthians 5. That was just off the top of my head. There's scriptures I just think of. But that 1 John 3, there are so many more scriptures. I'm going to cover this one more time next week. So this time next week, and while I'm on it, and Arlene is flipping back, I'll talk to say this briefly. We're going to cover this same time. Next week, we're going to talk about this law again. Tomorrow, starting at 3:30, we're going to be on Blog Talk Radio again, and we're going to talk about this issue of how we know we Israelites, how we know that African Americans and certain other people all over the planet are the true Israelites, and what in the world do that have to do with your salvation, your son, your boyfriend, your husband, your bills. What, Seth, okay, what if we are? What does got to do? You don't want to miss it, because I promise you it will do like it's doing to millions. It's the biggest movement right now. Hebrew Israelites is probably secretly the biggest denomination, because lots of people in those denominations do believe we are. They just ain't come together yet. So it's a gigantic movement, and it's worldwide. They're in India. They're in South Africa, West Africa. Israel, 12 tribes have been scattered all over, but they're coming together just like the Most High prophesied Ezekiel to do, okay? So that's tomorrow, 3:30, and then there's other broadcasts throughout the week. Y'all just check my blog. Go ahead, Arlene.
Okay, then, again, verse 9. Whosoever is born of the Most High does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of the Most High. In this, the children of the Most High are manifest, and the children of the devil, Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of the Most High, neither he that loveth not his brother.
Now, hold on a second. Now, say that again.
In this, the children of the Most High are manifest.
This is how you know.
And the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of the Most High.
Actually, I take that back. This is not how you know. You won't know Jack because we're not God. But the spirit, if our spirit is sinning, hasn't been born again, this person never seen. Have you got it? Have we read to where? Because I was looking at something else. Did you get to where it says that you never known the Most High? If you sin, you never even known him. See, if a person's spirit is not born again, as we talked about earlier, that comes from the Most High, that's perfect, goes into our spirit, and we become a born again, okay, like a child. Not like Nicodemus was talking about, but, you know, we become born again, all right? That person have never sinned. Let's just say this. Let me talk about you, listener. You driving down the road, you listen to your cell phone. I'm saying this to you. If you're born again, the real you, I'm going to talk about the real you. We want to keep it real. Well, let's keep it real. The real you never sinned. The real you always cry, Abba, Father. The real you always want to please your Father. The real you is grieved every time you sin. If you said no to any of the above, you're probably not in the family. That's a nice little self-check. I'm going to say it again. The real you that's been born again, that really believes that Christ came to this earth, lived, died. I mean, do you really believe that this black man, this woolly-haired, dark, dirt-looking man from Galilee died, rose again on the third day, went among his dust-colored disciples, ascended, with dust-colored angels. Some of y'all already messed up because y'all got all them people white. That's another Bible study. Okay? Do you really believe that and that he's coming again? Some of y'all don't believe that. If you don't believe, it's okay, not a problem. I ain't mad at you. But you can't be born again. You have to believe it. And that belief that you, if you did say, I believe, oh, yeah, he did. Hallelujah. You just start jerking and shucking. And if you really believe that, that faith that you have is not even yours. The Most High had to draw you in. Had to draw you in. It's a gift. And what comes with that gift is Christ as your Lamb. And the gift of righteousness. You have to believe. You have to have the faith. He have to draw you. Okay? Hold on a second. I got a caller that wants to make a comment, and I'm going to let him do so. So go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. 614-843-577. I won't give the last number.
I was just basically listening in. I didn't want to comment. This is Danielle.
Hey, Danielle.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Sitting here with your girl. I'm sitting here with your girl, Miss Arlene.
I know. And I was listening earlier, too. I had to get off for a second and came back to it.
Oh, okay. All right. Be blessed, girl.
Well, thank you. Let us know what you think of it later on.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, she's from the good old city of Columbus, Ohio. But anyway, it's good to hear from her. Okay, so what was I saying? I know one thing I did want to say is this. We have exactly about how many minutes we got left? 13 minutes left. So what I want to do at this time is give some scriptures out because again, it's so much. I can't cover everything. I just can't cover everything. Every week I try to do this, and I just can't do it. Quickly, I'm going to give you some scriptures just in case we don't get to them because I don't want to shortchange the listeners. Ephesians is where we was going to go next. Ephesians 2, I think that whole chapter would be good, but especially verses 14 through 18, okay? I would have, where do we stop at it with Galatians? But people, listen, let me just say this. I didn't go through all of chapter 4. That's a good place to go. I would definitely, most definitely read all, well, not all of Romans. Let's say Romans 4 through Romans 8. That's a lot of reading, folks. That should keep you all busy until, not that you need me to give you something, but that should keep you on this subject until we do this again next week, okay? All right, so I want to go ahead and jump to Ephesians right quick. I think we will try to read that. Let's go to Ephesians 2, okay, and that's verse 14 through 18. Yeah.
For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments.
Okay, now wait a second. Enmity meaning enemy. Enmity meaning enemy. Go ahead.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
Okay, now read that again. Keep in mind, everybody, when we read the word enmity, we're talking about enemy, okay? A law was good now. The law helped mankind to not destroy each other, the planet, because, you know, I mean, the law said don't do this, don't do that. But it also brought to their mind that they're sinning, and it also brought to their mind guilt. And also when guilt comes, people run from God, the Most High, versus to him. So the law meant to be good, but it ended up driving humanity away, and that's why we needed Christ to come. So read that one more time, Arlene.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
Okay, now hold on a second. I wanted to just, for those that like to just really go deep and study, which I'm right with you, I wanted to just give you a little bit more information on the word enmity, enmity. Okay, first of all, I'm going to let you hear what the Hebrew pronunciation of it. If you have a pencil handy, it's E-Y-B-A-H. This is the Hebrew rendering of that word, and this is how it sounds, okay? I can just get this thing here to work, and I want y'all to, and what that word means, again, it says enmity, hostile mind. I said the word enemy, same thing, hostile mind, okay? But this is the pronunciation of that word in Hebrew for those that want to know it. Again, it's spelled E-Y-B-A-H.
Strong's H-342, Ava. Ava.
Okay, so Ava. Ava is the correct pronunciation of that. All right, go right ahead, Arlene.
And that he might reconcile both unto the Most High in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of the Most High, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitted firmly together, groweth into an holy temple of the Most High.
Now, let me just stop right there. Now, Arlene mentioned something earlier that I wanted to revisit real quick before we go off the air here. I think it was verse 15. Let's look, those of you have your Bibles out there, if you can flip to, talk about what he talked about, twain, having broken down and become twain.
That's at the end of verse 15.
Okay, verse 15, all right, because I was looking at something else. All right, verse 15, I'm going to read again. Listen to what it says. Having abolished in his flesh, this is the Messiah, Christ, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. Now, abolish, I think, if I went to graduate from school, okay, didn't it say, Abolish means destroy, being facetious. It's destroyed. Again, people, we cannot be justified by, again, it says laws and commandments. We're to do them. We're to do them. I've said it over and over and over again. We're to do them. We're to, you know, especially if we call ourselves Hebrew Israelites, the Most High commanded Israel to even live a higher standard, like we are supposed to be keeping the Sabbath. I know people say, oh, well, no, why not? You ought to be keeping the Sabbath. I mean, some of y'all could use a day off, you know, because we're so busy. We don't have time for the Most High. We really don't. This the Sabbath is supposed to be his day, not a day to just be sitting around, you know. It's his day, which means you're supposed to pursue him that one day, okay? Now, I do believe since Christ come that our life is supposed to be a Sabbath. It talks about that. That's another Bible study. But it does talk about us having ceased from our works. Now, why would it say that we all got to keep jobs? But it talks about us having ceased from our works and having received this peace. That was a Sabbath. And that is supposed to be our life since we are Christ. And if we're led by the Holy Spirit, this is a big if. If we're led by the Holy Spirit, if we're full of the Spirit, we'll have this peace and we'll have this Sabbath lifestyle. So I'm not, you know, I do believe in keeping the Sabbath. I do believe that those of us that say we're Israel, truly Jews, true Israel, that we're supposed to keep it for real to all our generations, wherever we have been scattered. That is Bible and the feast days, Feast of Unleavened Bread, all these things. So we try to do those things. And this is not about me personal, by the way. I'm trying not to say what I do or don't. It's not about me personal, but I'm just saying to everyone that for sure, we are supposed to keep those of us who call ourselves Israelites or Jews or, you know, Jacob, whatever you want to, however you want to call yourself. We are commanded to keep these forever. Now, the issue is, are we justified by? Do we get more points? Are we get closer to God? No. No. The Most High has already said you can walk into his throne room, walk into the Holy of Holies, not unlike in the Old Testament when they had those priests and he would strike them dead. You know, Ronnie, want to say something?
Yeah, before we go off the air, I would just like to make a quick analogy about being righteous or being in right standing with the Most High. And that is, he has given you righteousness as a gift. That gift makes you in right standing with him so that you can call him Abba Father, regardless of what's going on. And the analogy is, if any of you have children or know people that have children, those children are in right standing with their parents. They can obey or disobey and live a good life or have a hard life, but they are always in right standing. And I just want you all to know, as brothers and sisters in Christ and followers of the Most High, that you are in right standing and you are righteous. And let that govern how you live for him.
Good point. Oh, I'm so glad she brought that out. That is a good point. That is a good point because, you know, our kids are always our kids. That's the same way. Why would you think the father would be a less parent than we are? Okay, we got a I will take this comment or we got a caller that wants to comment. Go right ahead, area code 859-621. Go right ahead. Hello? Go right ahead, caller. You're on the air. Okay, I'm just going to move on. I guess they probably stepped away from the phone. Anyway. Okay. Anyway, just closing up here, we have a few minutes here, 4 minutes, so we'll go ahead, and I just want to make this comment. We can turn the scriptures forever. This is what I said in the other video. Again, y'all have got to listen to the other video at blogtalkradio.com, 5 Smooth Stone. Look up that video. It'll be the same topic as this one, part 2. In that video, that audio, I talks about how we already have the truth inside of us. That was put inside of us, that spirit knoweth all things, and you need not that any man should teach you. Y'all, we don't need another teacher, especially me. We don't need another teacher. We have the Holy Spirit within us. You know the way. You know the way. You're just so busy you probably can't hear the way, some of you. Some of you know it better than I know it. But I'm saying these Bible studies kind of, kind of get to me a little bit, because people make it like it's so complicated. We just reading the same scriptures over and over and over. I'm sure some of y'all are probably bored, like, I've been knowing that. But I'm telling you, it's a big issue among other people. Listen to your spirit. Get time alone. Get quiet before the Most High. You know, because the answer is already in the Bible. Say, we have an unction of the Spirit and knoweth all things. We have an unction of the Spirit and knoweth all things, and need not that any man should teach us. That's 1 Peter. So I look forward to hearing from you next week. Okay? I look forward to sharing this again next week. Just one thing I want to, let's see here. And I would encourage everyone, after listening to this Bible study, to start looking at each other by the Spirit, not so much by the flesh. Start looking at people that are born again or in the, you know they're believers. I guess only Most High would really know that. But just start looking at people's spirits. Start just saying, you know, this person never sinned. Their spirit. I mean, I think the more we look at it like that, the more we will understand and respect each other. And then that respect and that being treated like we are a child of the Most High will encourage us to do right. Okay? I'm going to go ahead and just kind of bail out here now. And Shabbat Shalom. That means on the Sabbath peace. Shabbat Shalom to all of you. So that's pretty much it. I will leave you with the song we brought in, we came in on, okay? Shabbat Shalom. All you want to say is Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
All right.